Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, welcome to another episode of Fundamentally Mormon with your host Mark Lichtenwalter, coming to you live on this 10th day of October 2018. We are going to be continuing on with Bible or Biblical Errors, Part 3 of Chapter 9 of As It Is Translated Correctly. You can find this book to read for yourself for free online at ogdenkraut.com. On the main page, just click on Ogden's Books. It'll bring you to a list of books. Click on As It Is Translated Correctly. It's the top book, and we are on in Chapter 9. So I'll give you a page number here in a moment. We are also on Facebook Live, facebook.com/LAZURUS1977, and on YouTube Live at youtube.com/user/God is my compass. That's my page. You can find the live stream there, as well as a list of other videos that I have created in the past. You can also find me on Facebook by typing in Messiah Ben Joseph or Mark Lichtenwalter. That's MarkLichtenwalter. The radio show is on Blog Talk Radio, and the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We have over 100 lines available for people to listen. If you do want to comment or any questions, please dial 1 once you are in the studio, and that will show me that you are on the air wanting to come on the radio. So, but for the most part, people don't, and that's fine. Most people just watch the videos, but we're putting it out there just for people to do. So yesterday, my wife and I did a video part 2, and we skipped over a ton of stuff, and I don't know, like she was scrolling through trying to find the end of all the scripture errors, which are in a confusing format on the website, but not in the books. But we don't have the books. We have volume 2 through 6 of The Ensign to the Nations, and As It Is Translated Correctly is in volume 1, which we don't have. So we have to read it online, which makes it a little more confusing just the way they have the format. When they copied and pasted it onto their website, ogdenkraut.com, things got a little bit screwy with these things because it was supposed to be in parallels. One side is, one scripture, the other side is another scripture that contradicts the other scripture, and they go into detail in it. Unfortunately, like I said, we don't have that. So, also, my wife, when she was scrolling, I don't know what she was doing, but she scrolled right into chapter 10 and halfway through chapter 10. So, the last part of what we read yesterday was actually not part of chapter 9, it was part of chapter 10, so I went back and tried to find a place where we could try to salvage some of this this chapter. So I'm just going to start reading, and like I said, if Facebook goes down, which it has because of my tablet, my iPad that is recording on Facebook, so I have Facebook recording here, I've got the camera for YouTube recording here and the computer with the screen of it over there, and then I've got the radio show actually on this headset that I am calling into the studio, and the studio is right there on one iPhone, and then my other iPhone has the text that I will be reading, so it's complicated. Anyway, let's get right into it today. Thank you for watching. And Biblical Errors, Part 3, Chapter 9 of As It Is Translated Correctly by Ogden Kraut. Furthermore, there are two different genealogies of Jesus, Yeshua, given to us by Matthew and by Luke. Compare Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, and Luke chapter 3, 23 through 38. I want to get into this real quick because I know what the answer to this is. It seems to be a contradiction, but it is not. So let's I'm pulling out my Bible. Now, one of the genealogies comes through Joseph, who adopted Yeshua as his son, even though it was Jehovah that was his father, not Elohim, as the LDS Church likes to teach. And we've gone through that in Ether Chapter 3, where it actually talks about, you know, Jesus not showing himself at any time to anyone before that point, to Mohanre Moriankamer, the brother of Jared, and how Jehovah had appeared many times as a resurrected being and walked and talked with different people in the Old Testament before and after the flood, and that Jesus was a spirit up until the time when he took a body and came in the flesh, but Jehovah was already a resurrected being. This has to do with the progression of the gods, well, mortal probations. These things are not taught in the LDS Church anymore, unfortunately. But so in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 3, we have two different genealogies. There are 14 generations listed from Adam to, I think it's 14. Let me see here. All right, in chapter 7 of Matthew chapter 1, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. Well, we'll go into 16. And Eliud begat Eleazar. That's Lazarus, anyway. And that the Anglicized version of Eleazar is Lazarus. And Eleazar began Methan. And Methan began Jacob. And Jacob began Joseph, the husband of Mary, who is Miriam, not Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, who the Gentiles called Jesus, who is the Christ, or who is the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, Messiah, are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Miriam, was espoused. So it goes into that. I'm not going to get into that. But then in Luke chapter 3 here, let's get to it. Chapter 3, verses 23 through 38, it gives a different genealogy. And there goes my Facebook. I'm sorry. It doesn't do this all the time, only when I'm trying to record videos. And I'm sorry. I know a lot of people go to Facebook to watch me there. Let me see if I can just throw it on live again. I don't understand why it does that. But we are on YouTube, so, and it's easier to watch me on YouTube than on Facebook for some reason. Maybe Facebook just doesn't like me. I don't know. Start that video. All right, so it gives a list, a genealogy of Jesus through his mother in Luke chapter 3, and we're going to go down through this. Let's see here. Backwards. Anyway, basically, you know, the Jews like to say, well, how come it doesn't give the same names in the genealogy? And how come one of them has 14, 14, and 14, and the other one has 14, 14, and 13? It's because Joseph was the son, or was the husband of Miriam, Joseph, Miriam, husband and wife. But Miriam's father was also named Joseph. That's how you get, and because Bible translators and all their mess, they've screwed things up. So things are, you know, they're screwed up. Like, you don't have 14 generations, and Luke, but you have 14, 14, and 14 in Matthew. And anyway, so that's just You know, that's one thing that, yeah, if you take into account that Miriam's father's name was Yosef, and Miriam was married to a Yosef, then it's not such a big deal. But the Jews want to make it a big deal anyway, so because they want to disprove. They're kind of like anti-Mormons. Like anti-Mormons, they find all kinds of stuff to like try to trip you up. Well, the Jews do the same thing because they don't believe in Yeshua. So anyway, as Messiah. Among the many different types of errors that have crept into the Bible are those passages which seem to contradict each other. The transmission of words do not always express the same idea, and they often seem to be saying just the opposite. The following examples are some of the contradictory problems found throughout the Bible. So on page 115, about God, omnipotence, all-powerful, weary or rest, the everlasting Jehovah, our Elohim, in the 6 days of Jehovah, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and created the ends thereof. And on the seventh day he fainted not, neither is he weary. He rested and was refreshed. So that these two different scriptures are Exodus chapter 31:17 and Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Problem or not? But Jesus beheld them and said, it was impossible for God to lie unto them with men. This is, that's Hebrews chapter 6:18. Impossible, but with God all things are possible. So it means it is possible for him to lie if you take into that account, whatever. If you're watching on Facebook, if you go on my page, you can find the YouTube link to the video as well. Facebook keeps going down because my tablet keeps resetting itself. So anyway, let's see. Present or afar off, God is our refuge and strength. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? A very present help in time of trouble. Why hidest thou thyself in times? And this is in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, and Psalms chapter 10, verse 1. So why hidest thyself in times of trouble? But like in one it says he's very close, and then the other one it says he's afar off. So finding him, those that seek me early shall find me. They shall seek me early, but they shall find me. They shall seek me early, but find me not. So that is Proverbs chapter 8:17. And also Proverbs chapter 1:28. Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will. Let's see. Verily thou art a God that hidest. Oh. Yeah, see, these things are so screwed up. Like, half of the scripture, and then it stops, and then it continues on below because of the way the format is. So, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And that's in JAS. I don't know what that Jasher. I don't think Jasher's in there. I'm not going to look for it. Whatever the JAS stands for, that's chapter 4, verse 8. And the other one says, God that hidest, draw nigh unto you. Yeah, you know what? These are so confusing, the way the format is. Like, I don't know which scripture begins, where it begins, and where it ends, and the other scripture begins and where it ends. So I'm just going to slowly get through this part. Unfortunately, I don't have the book where the format is better, to where it's not so confusing. Oh, brother. There's just a lot of things that seem to contradict. Like I've said before, in one place it says God is a spirit and we must worship him in spirit. And then Jesus is like, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. That's like a big one. Because people are like, well, They gotta do all kinds of mental gymnastics to get through this, and it's not necessary because, like, if you had the correct interpretation of scripture, you would understand it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of mess in the scriptures that seem to contradict, and they do contradict because you've got errors in translation, you've got errors in interpretation, and let me read some more. Well, let me get to another part. All right, here's the one. No man hath seen God at any time, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. So you've got one that says, he doesn't appear, and he whatever. No man has seen God at any time. Now, the Joseph Smith translation corrects that, except for the he that is called of God. So if the scriptures, if the Bible that we have today would actually include the full thing that was written originally, it would have said, no man has seen God at any time except for he that has been called of God, which is true. But in the modern Christianity, they don't have the correct interpretation or the correct translation. Things have been lost in time. So it says this, but then it contradicts because it talks about, like, these other people who have seen God face to face. So in those two examples are in John chapter 1 verse 18 and also 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 2. The king eternal immortal then went up to Moses and Aaron and Nadab invisible, 1 Timothy chapter 17, and Abihu, I don't know how to say that, I'm sorry, and the 70 elders of Israel, and they saw Jehovah of Israel. Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. So one says they didn't see him, he's invisible. The other one says all these other people did see him. So which is right? Well, I don't know which one is right. I've seen God face to face. I know others who have as well. So, I know that scripture that says that no man has seen God at any time is wrong. The interpretation is wrong and the translation is wrong, because guess what? In the scriptures, many have seen him. So, and also with the Trinitarian notion of things, and there's many different ways to look at the Trinity. How I look at the Trinity is that God the Father is the Father of God the Son, the only begotten of the Father. And you've got the Ruach HaKodesh, and they stand as like a first presidency for this earth and this creation. And that they are one in purpose, but not one in substance. So you've got a Father that has a body of flesh and bones, the Son who has a body of flesh and bones, and he even says, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And I have seen them both face to face, and I can testify that they do have bodies of flesh and bone, because they are both resurrected, which has to do with multiple mortal probations and on the progression of the gods and all this stuff. And it's part of the mystery of the new heavens and the new earth. Well, this earth that we are on right now, one of the new heavens, new earths, basically. Because there was an older earth before this. And when this earth expires, and as it says in Revelation, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, this earth will become a heaven for those who are righteous, and the progression will continue on for they who are not damned and destroyed to go into a new multiple mortal probation to try for a higher resurrection, basically, and to go through different experiences. Every life and every experience is good for learning and growing, if we take it for, if we take it for what it is, for, for that. So anyway, and he said, "Thou canst see." And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the face, and there shall no man see me and live." Well, that's weird. So, but Stephen saw God and Jesus standing at his right hand, right? He looked up and saw the Father right before he died and saw Yeshua standing at his right hand. There goes Facebook again for no reason. I'm getting so sick of this. But, and you can find that thing with, and I'm not resetting the Facebook, I'm sorry. If you can't watch this on YouTube, I don't know what to tell you. I would do the Facebook on the computer that I'm recording the YouTube on. But I don't know how to save it so that I can make sure it gets onto YouTube. And I record and archive videos on YouTube, and Facebook I don't. So I like to have the Facebook feed just for people to watch from Facebook when I'm doing these live videos, but I don't know. Anyway, whom no man hath seen nor can see, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So you can find that in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. And you can find the other one that contradicts it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as one man speaketh unto his friend. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen Jehovah or God. Judges chapter 13, verse 22. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Jehovah sitting upon the throne and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. The tables of stone written with the finger of God. God is a spirit. All right, so and those references are Luke chapter 24, 39, Exodus chapter 31, 18, and John chapter 4, 24. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him, referring to God. And that's what Israel's name is, right? That's what it means. He who wrestles or struggles with God. Because Jehovah has a body, and he wrestled. He allowed himself to wrestle with his child, Jacob, or Jacob, in Genesis chapter 32, verse 25. I know a lot of people are like, well, that's just the angel of the Spirit of the Lord, and they've got all kinds of interesting things to try to like get around that, because they believe no man has seen God at any time, even though many places talk about God appearing unto man. Which makes that other scripture wrong, because no man has seen God at any time except he who is called of him, which has been taken out of the Bible. Let's see, like man or not. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy. So that's in Genesis chapter 26. Let me see here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. We're on page 118 of As It Is Translated Correctly. One God or more. I am the Lord God, which is, I am Jehovah your Elohim, and there is none else, there is no God beside me. Let's see here. But in another place it says, let's see. And God said, let us make man in our image, for there, let's see. And after our likeness, Genesis 1:26, Isaiah 14:5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Jehovah our Elohim. And that's the Shema. Behold, the Lord is one. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 41, which is one of the most holy scriptures in all of Judaism. That's the Shema. Behold, the Lord our God is one. All right. But in another place it said, behold, the Lord God said, behold, let's see. Man has become as one of us to know good and evil, Genesis 3:22. But to us there is but one God, for there are three that bear record. All right, so it's just skipping scriptures again. Three that bear record, the Father of whom all things are, in heaven, the Father, the Word, in Him, are we in Him, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, and the Holy Ghost, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and I and my Father are one, which means to be one in purpose and one in unity, not meaning they are the same. Because in Revelations, Yeshua, Jesus, is subject to the will of the Father, because he's not equal with the Father. He is the child of the Father, the only begotten in the flesh. But we are all spiritually begotten of the Father. So anyway, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. John chapter 16, verse 28. So, and let me just say real quick, so this deals with the Trinity too. The thief on the cross said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Yeshua said, today thou shalt surely be with me in paradise. 3 days later, he is resurrected. First person he goes to is Miriam, who we call Mary of Magdala, his wife. Why would I say that? Because he kept Torah perfectly. And one of the laws in the Torah is multiply and replenish the earth. And the other one is cleave to your wife and, like, get married and all that, and he did it. Now, also, like, when he, in his day and age, anybody who didn't get married was, like, almost as bad as a murderer. But they never found a problem with the fact that he wasn't married, because he was married. The first person he went to after his resurrection was Miriam, Mary of Magdala, because that was his wife. But what did he say when he went to her? Hold me not, or touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God, or my Logos, or in the Hebrew, my Elohim, and your Elohim. Now, how is it that some can say Jesus is the Father, come down in the flesh, and when he goes back, he's like in the spirit, right? That's one of the ways the Trinitarians look at it. Now, I know there's a lot of different ways Trinitarians look at things, and it's confusing to a lot of people, but how did Jesus go into paradise and then he hadn't yet been to where the Father is at if he is the Father? I will tell you a secret. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. But when Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he took upon him our sins and then took upon those sins and nailed them upon the cross and took them down into Sheol, hell, and came back and he saw Mary, he adopted us. We become adopted, especially for Gentiles, but we come adopted to him, and he becomes our Father. So we have less than 60 seconds on the live streaming portion of the radio program. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Remember, we're going to go into 15 minutes of live streaming, and I'm going to post the text to what I have been reading on Zion's Redemption Bookstore page on Facebook, so you can check it all out there. Of course, you have to watch the video for the commentary. But just to read the book, I'll post that. I'll post what we read today on that page, Zion's Redemption Bookstore page. We are now in overdrive. Thank you for continuing on with us. Let's see here. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again, and I leave the world and go to the Father. John chapter 16 verse 28. Respecter of persons. There is no iniquity with the Lord, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, and our God not respect of persons. So, screwed up scriptures, the way it's formatted. It's just basically saying that God had respect to Abel, but in another place it says God is no respecter of persons. And how can both be true, right? To his offering. So God had respect to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Let's see. That's 2 Chronicles 19:7 and also Genesis 4:4-5. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. All right, let me see if I can figure this out. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So you can find these two scriptures in Exodus chapter 2, verse 25, and also Acts chapter 10, verse 34. For there is no respect of persons with God, Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you, Leviticus chapter 31, verse 9. Your master also is in heaven. And the Lord was gracious unto them. This drives me nuts. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, and let's see here. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them. 2 Kings 13:23. The Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. 1 Peter 1:17. And I'm doing this without any punctuation. It's just all mixed together. Let's see. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he done to the lowly, but every man's work. I don't know. Psalms chapter 138, verse 6. I wish I could just get through this. I don't even want to read this. I mean, I know that there's all these contradictions, and I want to make a case for it, just because this chapter talks about these biblical errors, but. And I know I've skipped a lot, so anyway, but finding God, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened, Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. And then, let's see here. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come, John chapter 7, verse 34. I am sought of them that ask for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. Let's see here. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. We're on page 119 of As It Is Translated Correctly. Attributes revealed or unsearchable. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. His greatness is unsearchable. For the invisible things of him from, there's no searching of his creation of the world, understanding. I'm skipping it because I can't figure this one out. And it's just, there's a lot of, you know, it's just lag. It's like slow reading because I'm trying to figure this out. And I wouldn't blame anybody for skipping this video, but I'm going to try to get through this chapter. Anyway, I'm just saying that there's a lot of things that, like, okay, well, if this is true, then how can that be true? It's because of people meddling around with scriptures, not translating them correctly, and actually adding to and taking away from things. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, this upsets me that this has happened. And I wish that God would give us a pure translation in English, because I speak English, but, you know, that's my first language. But I know that God lives, whether or not any of this, you know, whether or not we have these contradictions and these troubles, I know that God lives. And, you know, the more you look into things, I can understand why people who really get into the Bible and really study it apostatize, and they're like, well, you know, especially if they do it by logic. That's why God wants us to have a direct relationship with him, so that when we do study these things out and we find these errors and these contradictions, we don't blame him for it. He's given us free agency. He's allowed that free agency for anybody, everybody, and people have taken advantage of it. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't live. It doesn't mean that these prophets were not his prophets. And yeah, this sucks, but, you know, I don't have a relationship with God because of the scriptures. I have a relation with God because I've prayed to him. Because I had faith that he might exist. Because he's answered my prayers. Now, these scriptures here help me to learn about him. But like I said, you have to get your revelation from him about what the truth of scriptures are. And maybe he did this on purpose so that, you know, the chaff would never find their way, because straight is the gate and narrow the way, few there be that find it, right? Yet the Bibles are all around the world. I was watching a video the other day of, and we only got 5 minutes left, but I was watching a video the other day of these Chinese people that were grabbing these Bibles, and they'd never had them before, and they were kissing them. And they were so thankful, and I was thankful that they got them. It was probably a King James version of the Bible, because that's the one that the world loves the most, seems like, at least the Christian world. And I was just thinking, yeah, this is great that they're getting this, and I hope that they get the basic principles out of it, but who's going to teach them? These people are just getting these Bibles. They've never had them before. Who's going to teach them? And maybe it's better just to keep everything basic. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I know that the principles that Yeshua taught are true. Love God with all your heart. Love your fellow man. Do good. Let your light so shine that they might see your good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. Be an example unto the unbelievers. You know, all of these things, these principles are good principles. The laws given to us on Mount Sinai, the true ones, not all the additions, are good principles for us to live by. We're not going to live perfectly because we are mortal beings and we make mistakes, but God has made a way for us to be forgiven for those mistakes through the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah, the blood of the Lamb. And he paid the penalty. He took upon us, took upon himself our sins, and we become his children through the law of adoption. So he is our father, but he is also a son to our father, which I know that gets a little bit confusing, but Yeshua had a father and his name was Jehovah. Jehovah is a resurrected being. Yeshua, before his birth, was a spirit being. After his birth and after his resurrection, he had a body, and he still maintains that body. The Ruach HaKodesh was a spirit being, and Joseph Smith taught, quite rightly, that the Holy Ghost must take a body and come into mortality and do the same or similar things that Jesus did. The two witnesses, God the witness is one of them, and he will die in the streets of Jerusalem, lay in the streets with his companion for 3 days, and then he will be raised from the dead, and this is God the witness come in the flesh. And this is the fulfillment of when Jesus said, when I send him unto you, well, Pentecost, yeah, his spirit did come, but guess what? He comes in the flesh as well. So I know that's crazy talk, but it's true. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. We only got a couple, or looks like we only have less than 1 minute on the radio program anyway. So thank you for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless. And don't forget, check us out on Zion's Redemption Bookstore, which is a page on Facebook. Shalom. Sure.